I like to get to do that when she's not in place.
Are you turned off, Chuck?
I thought I was.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Kirk, check and see if the box is turned on.
I just have such a soft voice, you can't pick it up. Good to see each one of you here this evening as we come to study. Oh, now I'm getting so loud, I'm going to scare myself. We are on question number 19. I believe it's page 13 in your workbooks. And before we go into that, you want to lead us, so David's going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being our Father. You provide everything we need. Good Father does to the children. You've given us wisdom through your word. You've given us a view of where we're to go and how to get there. Be with us as we study, that we can have an open mind and an open heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Book of Proverbs. We're talking about family and family life. And those of us who've had children, maybe some lessons we did use, maybe we're learning lessons, but they're already grown up, so we can teach that to our grandchildren. Question 19, I ask, the father of the righteous will do this. What proverbs did you have? All right, we all come into basically the same conclusion, Proverbs 23, 24, and 25. David and back, you want to read that for me, please?
The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. My father and my mother shall be glad, and she that bare me shall be joyful.
All right, what's this telling us about? All right. You'll be happy if your kids turn out. I talk about you'll be happy when your kids are behaved and others see that, and therefore they bring some comment to you because they are behaved. And of course, kids won't be behaved unless what? They're taught as to what to do. I don't think any of us here are the perfect parent. If you are, then maybe I'll sit down and let you teach. But God has the perfect standard. And so we need to learn from that. Like I said, the only perfect parent I've ever met are those who have never been parents. They have all the answers. When you have children, you find that that's not the case. And what may work for one may not work for another. And as my daughter has five, now she's got five to deal with, you know. So the more personalities you have, the difference you have is trying to keep them in the straight and narrow. But there's nothing more joyous than to somebody to come up to you and say, boy, your children are well behaved. Have you ever had that said to you? And I mean, that kind of puts you on an elevated schedule. You say, oh man, that's great. You know, it's all worth it then. However, let's remember this, especially younger children. Children will be children. You know, we can't expect a 7-year-old to act like a 20-year-old. So they've got to be trained, and therefore you've got to have some compensation between those differences as you deal with that. Anybody else want to comment on that one? Where's my buddy? Where's your dad? He's usually out here. Oh, okay. You don't give me any extra verses here. Okay. All right, let's go to question number 20. This should be done while there is hope. Okay, well, we'll get to yours in a minute. That's
for
19. Okay. He said Proverbs 10:1. That you may have used, but I'm looking for another proverb. 19:18. And Bob is right. You know, when I made these questions, I was dead set. Nobody could come to any other conclusions than what I did, and I found out that's not so. So Proverbs 19:18. Let's go ahead and read that. Rebecca, you want to read that for us, please?
Just as a man
Okay, now the NIV says, discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. Okay, what kind of death do you think we're talking about here? I think it starts with spiritual death, correct? Child left to himself is going to do what? Whatever he or she wants. So when the parent, you know, when some parent, and I haven't heard this in years, well, I love them too much to discipline them. That is the dumbest statement. If someone says that to you, take them aside and ask them to pay attention to what they just said, because they didn't think it through. You love them so much, so you're not going to teach them to be within the guidelines of, first of all, your family, be in the guidelines of society. So again, they've got to be trained to be disciplined. And there's, now, what this also teaches me, okay, while there is hope, says what it's on here, or for in there is hope, what if you wait till they're 18? You're 18 years too late. Yeah, well, you know who's hard to discipline? The toddler. Because they're so cute, right? But understand this, they're smarter than we give them credit for. And they learn lessons very quickly. Let me give you an illustration on toddlers. And it's been many, many years since my kids have been toddlers. And thank goodness for wives, because usually they spend most of the time with the toddler. One of the first things you try to teach your toddler is to what? Pick up their toys, right? Raise your hand, is that correct? All right. What generally happens amongst many parents? The parents end up picking them up because it just takes too much time, right? You want to get it done and they're lollygagging or they're not doing it. Or perhaps the parent's not consistent. You say maybe one day you have extra time, so you give that extra 5 or 10 minutes as that child's got to bless each toy he or she puts in the thing, and you don't have that time for all those. And I'm teasing when I say bless. I'm just saying they take a lot of time. They stare at the toy as if they're giving it up forever. But the point is, consistency is the gem. And sometimes we as parents are so inconsistent, maybe we don't leave a pattern. Now, that's toddlers, whole different realm on different ages. But again, you need to start at a very young age. Go ahead, Daryl.
Well, first off, I don't disagree with what you're talking about, it being spiritual death. But a lot of people don't remember what's in God's law in the Old Testament about unruly children. In Deuteronomy 21, I'll read it real quick, starting in verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father's mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stone.
And that be literal death there. That's not talking about a spirit. By the way, what passage is that again?
Deuteronomy 21.
Okay, I want you to remember that passage when we get to Proverbs 22:6. That's going to be probably towards the end of the study. I'll say this right now. A lot of parents beat themselves up because of Proverbs 22:6, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but I like that one. Thank goodness there is not physical death for disobedient children. We'd have some deaths today. Because we've had, now what have I done? Okay, you going to say something? Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Proverbs 10:1.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've ignored that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Okay, go ahead and read Proverbs 10:1.
A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother.
Okay, but it's not only the mother. It's a grief of the father, too. So, again, all of this is kind of repetitive of what we're talking about, and it is being discipline or correction and consistency, and most often, not all the time, because Daryl just read a passage, there's going to be some kids who are going to be rebellious, period. Would we agree that there are some who have a disposition that they're like the unrestrained horse that can't be broken. And you have sometimes that with some children. We'll talk more about that later on. Anybody, I also have this on question 20. I put timely discipline. And notice, it is this discipline is not an option. Now you go back to look at the proverb. Chasten your son, not if you'd like to chasten your son, or perhaps you should chase. It says chase. This is not an option. If you want to have children who are obedient, you discipline them. Now, if you don't discipline them when they're young, good luck when you try to teach that when they get older. And there's common sense. Now, again, as I look at my parenting, there's things I'm glad I did. There's things I would have changed. I'm not going to beat myself up over it because that's over with. I've got to keep on moving forward. And I think all parents, I think if you're honest with yourselves, will say, well, yeah, there were some things I did good. I wished I had done some of these other things. You know, so again, any more on this one before we go on? Yes, go ahead, David. All right, and the little ones are the best as far as manipulating their parents because they're so lovable on most times, and it just so we got to be careful on that. And again, when we talk about discipline, I'm not going to go into detail on this other than to say this: that does not mean you take out your wrath on them. If you got wrath, don't discipline at that time. It does not mean that you take something and you physically harm them. I have my personal preferences, how you discipline different ages. I'm not going to get into you what's right or wrong. When I first started preaching, psychology became a big thing, and God forbid if you upset your children. Well, I'm thinking, well, what happened in the 50s and 60s? Did those parents care about that? And we grew up pretty good, didn't we? So again, I'm not saying you have to spank a small child. If you've got a different form of discipline, that's between you and your husband as to what you do. But if you have no form of discipline and if you're not consistent, good luck. Good luck when they get older, because you're not going to accomplish anything. You can't tell, you can control a four-year-old, but if the four-year-old's left to himself till he's 14, good luck trying to control the 14-year-old. You're going to have a lot of difficulty, right? Common sense. Let's go to the question number 21. This son causes shame and brings reproach because he does this. What proverb? 19:26. Okay, you want to read that for me? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I thought you were going to look up. She should. I was staring at her. She should. Steph, come on now. Let's get on the same page.
19:26.
Yes.
He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach.
The New American Standard, same verse. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is shameful and disgraceful son. And the sad thing about that, we see more of that in the modern generation than we did 20 years ago. Or at least if it was going on 20 years ago, it wasn't as obvious. When I see a kid hit their parents, that's an absolute crossing of the line. That's an absolute, I don't care if they're 2, 3, 4, 6, that's a time you've got to do something and do something right then. They have overstepped their boundaries in a big, big way. Because if you're going to allow that at 5 or 6, as I say, when they get 14, 15, 16, now what are you going to do? It's just a shame. It's a shame that parents have become fearful of their children. But doesn't make it right. Doesn't justify it. A lot of those parents brought it on themselves because they didn't do what? They didn't train them as they were coming up in age. Now, I'm not saying that's justifiable for them to mistreat their parents, but that's what happens. True story. When we were in Lake City, no, Perry, I'm sorry, when we were in Perry and then we moved back to Illinois, one of the things, just show you the difference, that they used to do down there, down here, I don't know if they still do it, but young people, children, were always to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Is that still done amongst young people? I remember when we moved back to Illinois, what do you think happened? The teachers don't, you need to teach your child not to say that. And I'm thinking, why would you say that? It's, they're trying to show you respect, but they didn't want that. And again, I'm not saying northern people are bad, but I like the yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And it was something that, now that doesn't mean they're going to be obedient in all things, but that's a step in the right direction. But up north, we've got situations, and down south, where kids are just completely rude. We used to teach our children, just to talk about, as you know, you talk about you don't want to bring shame and you want them to not mistreat. But when you see them mistreat another adult, now I put this in the category of mistreat, when they ignore other adults. That's another time you've got to get a hold of them, draw them in, and say, listen, you need to respect your elders. Those are old. Now, we're not talking about elders' position in the church. I'm talking about those who are older. This I see is going by the wayside. Now, I understand young people really don't care about us older people because they're young people. They're more happy to be with their friends and doing other things. But when someone older talks to them and they just ignore them, that's disrespectful. That needs to stop. Now, I'm not saying they should be beaten, but they should be brought to their attention. Maybe it's just me. You get a 9 or 10 or 12-year-old that ignores you and they know you're talking to them and they just walk away. I have to remind myself that's not my child. Because if that was my child, I'd be grabbing them by the nape of the neck and bringing them back to me. You say, well, that's such a minor thing. Well, minor things can lead into what?
Major.
Ruth.
I was just going to say, actually, training your children starts when they're born.
Absolutely. Very good. And since you brought that up, I'll throw in this. This is your fault, Ruth. That's one good reason why we don't have children's church. Children need to be in the church to see how adults act and react to the things. They need to be in the church collectively when we partake of the Lord's Supper and do other things. They need to, as they get older, learn to be respectful and behave on those time frames. So, you know, someone asked me in Illinois, well, you know what, we had not a big deal, many children, but we had some, and some of them were disruptive. So one lady suggested, we should have children's church. In other words, get them out of our assembly and let them have. And I said, no. They need to learn from us. Well, they're so disruptive. Guess what my comment to that? The parents need to stop that. The parents need, and those with little ones, hey, I have no problem. Bring your book bag with books and other things. That's fine. But as they get older, pay attention. I know my wife, I don't know, did you, Jake? I'm sure you did. Jake and Kim, I believe, when they were younger, used to take notes of the lessons. So again, whether they liked it or not, they're taking notes of the lessons, and it's a situation that gets them to pay attention. As I said, most of us as preachers don't hit a home run every time. It's impossible. Just like in baseball, you can't hit a home run every time. But there's always some golden nuggets. And even if there's no golden nuggets, I try not to have that happen. But even if there's no golden nuggets, you pay attention. And let's face it, sometimes it's hard to pay attention. Sometimes it's hard for me as a preacher sitting in the audience that the one speaking is as dry as dust. And you'll see me starting to take notes because I don't want to nod off. But you teach, like Ruth said, you teach your children, set the example. Oh, by the way, if you teach your children, that's when you don't want to be sleeping. You know, if you bring your children to service and they see you snoring, that's not going to be a good thing. All right. Anybody else on question number 21? Let's hope and pray we never have to be faced with someone who is so disrespectful to those who are older in years. And I hate to say it, we are in a society that disrespect those of age. I don't know why that is. Now, that doesn't mean I have all the answers, but there should be some respectfulness to those of age. I can say here, the young people here that have got the ability to have knowledge, they do show respect, and I appreciate that. But I'll tell you what, all you have to do is go to the mall or go somewhere where there's a bunch of kids, and you've got some who just want to be disrespectful. You're not my dad. No, you're lucky I'm not. Because if I were, then things would be different. And I would never raise a hand. I want to go to jail quickly. Don't do that. You know, it's one of those things. Question number 22. Opposite. This will bring rest and delight to the delight if the parents do this. What proverb? Proverbs 29:17. Go ahead and read that for me. Yeah. And yes, I knew your name was Clay, but you looked up. So just because I say you, that's not that I've forgotten your names. But thank you, Clay. Okay. And that's true. If they have guidelines, how many of you, and again, I don't want names being named, how many of you know of parents that won't go to the restaurant because they can't corral their children? It's horrible. I told you, the one meeting I went to, that was that they don't have to take me out. They took me out to eat. They had two small kids that were just constant energy. Okay. And before you know it, before we even got the bread put down on the table, they're under the table. Okay. Well, that was bad enough. But the next few minutes, they're under somebody else's table. I felt about this. I wanted to get that meal done so quickly and get out of there. Because I wanted no part of, I thought the family, but the kids were just left. And what made it worse, the parents were ambivalent to what was going on. I'm thinking, has this ever happened to anybody else? I'm thinking, do they see what I see? You know, it's one of those things. And I don't know why that is. You know, well, they're kids. Yeah, they're kids, but kids have to react in different ways in different settings. And if your kid's going to act like a wild beast when you go to the restaurant, well, then don't go to the restaurant because I don't want to eat with a wild beast. You get, and that's, you say, well, that's so trivial. No, because that leads to other things, does it not? So we have to be careful there. Now, are there occasions where someone's child is just having a bad day? That doesn't make them like that, you know. Everybody has a bad day, and you have to deal with it. But I'm talking about, and I was there a whole week. These kids, of course, if they didn't behave at the restaurant, where else do you think they didn't behave?
Church.
At the church building. And I saw that throughout the whole week. And I appreciate the parents being there. I appreciate them trying to, but I can't imagine how hard that is in that family. Now, just because the kid sits there doesn't mean that the parent's a perfect parent, but at least they've got some restraint. They've got some restraint. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm getting old and cranky as I get along. I don't know. Anybody else on that one? This next one. Oh, I'm sorry. We had. I'm sorry. Is that Ruth or is that Linda? Okay. What did you say?
Correcting children is a cheap price for long-term peace.
Oh, I like that. And by the way, if you have to correct them, as I said before, try not to make it a public thing. You know, if you have to correct them, I don't have a problem if you've got to take your child out, or if you want to go to a back room, or if you're in a store, you go someplace. You don't have to, and I'm not saying parents do, but I do think some parents try to make a show of it. I don't need to watch a show. If your child needs some type of correction, please correct them, but we don't have to have the whole community see what's going on. You know, and I believe people get involved in things they shouldn't. I think you would agree with me. But then I also say maybe the parent should use a little more wisdom as to how they deal with that thing. All right, question number 23, and I like this one because this is speaking of grandparents. I've been accused, and I think falsely accused, I've been accused that I'm more tolerant to my grandchildren than I were my... What are you nodding your head yes for? Well, Dad, you would never done that when I was small. Well, they're my grandkids. I've even come to bat for them, not in the presence of them. I don't want them to see I'm their defender, but privately. But even then, I have to back off because I'm the grandparent. You can't beat grandchildren. I can honestly say that. I love our children. Don't misunderstand me. I know the children think, well, yeah, the grandchildren are more important than us. No, it may seem that way, but that's not true. But when you're with your grandchildren, it is just amazing. And it doesn't stop when they're small. Although I did like it better when they were small. Because when my grandchildren were small, my wife and I were rock stars. We'd come to town from Illinois to Kentucky, and they'd be at the window waiting for us to get there. And when we got there, they ran out. Man, it was wrapping themselves around us, how much they love us. And it was just so, you remember those days? I told her that, enjoy them now. They still love us, but they're not 5 and 6 anymore. Now one is in her 20s, the other is, and they still come when we're there. They still come and acknowledge and hug. But I'd be shocked I go there someday, and they all run out and they're jumping for joy at their ages. Probably they don't do that because I'd probably have a heart attack. Grandchildren are special. And I love this Proverbs because they are a crown. They are a crown. I don't want to give you a lot of personal stories, but I can think of many personal stories of times with my grandchildren. That's why we're in Florida. I'd still be preaching in Illinois if it wasn't for the grandchildren. Nothing against Kim and David, nothing against Jake. But the seeing the grandchildren once or twice a year didn't work. Now, selfishly, I don't see them as much as I'd like to see them now, but they've got to live their lives. And I've got to learn that it does not revolve about Gramps and Lakeland. Although sometimes I think it should. But grandparents, if you're a grandparent, you've got a special blessing. Yes, Daryl.
All this ties together.
Huh? That's a good point, but a sad point. And that, you know, because I can't imagine that. But you're right, Daryl, there is probably a number of people that are like that. And that's sad, because I'll tell you what, nothing beats time when the family gets together. You know, people say to Susan or I, what do you want for your birthday? You coming over, or us being together, or us doing, I don't need a gift, I don't need socks. I don't need cards to buy things. You know, they used to get, I was always hard to buy for. give me gift cards. I forget the gift card. It's there for a year. So I don't need none of those things. Just us being together, us laughing, us talking. Now I understood what Sue's mom and dad felt and what my mom felt, because I used to ask, it's so hard to buy for them. And they'd say, we don't want nothing. Just come over. Now, what a dumb statement that is. Now I'm saying, now it makes sense. Now I understand. Because when you get our age, you really don't need anything. You know, I don't know what you need. Nothing. You know, I've got the things physically. So again, and thank goodness, like Daryl said, if you've got a relationship with your grandchildren, that means something has been done right. And that's a good thing. And if you don't have a relationship with your grandchildren, I wish there'd be something that could be done to do some patching up. I don't know the specifics. I know I have a friend who got divorced at a very early age, sounds like, of his children, and he has nothing to do with his children. And it's really sad, really sad. And I didn't want to get involved because it's none of my business what all transpired. But I said, have you tried? And he made one snide remark, and that kind of told me, Chuck, back off. Don't get involved. But he's coming to the end of his life, and they've had no relationship. That's really sad when they have no relationship one with another. I don't know how much he's at fault. I don't know how much they're at fault. I don't know how much the ex-wife is at fault. It's really none of my business. But they have, as what Daryl said, they have destroyed some of the best relationships they possibly could have had that they're letting go by the wayside. And you know what? At the funeral, that doesn't do anybody any good. So relationships mean a lot. Anybody else? Yes, go ahead, Bob.
Psalm 128, 3 through 6.
You want to read that? Because I'm not there. You see, you got it. Psalm, okay, your Psalms 128, what?
Three through six.
Really, six
is the last one in that song. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children.
Okay, very good. So you might want to write that down with that proverb. He's going back and forth. I like this. Hey, he's burned up a lot of calories tonight, so he gets a piece of pie when he goes home tonight. Yes, go ahead, Linda. No, he was in Psalms. Bob, Psalm what? 123, right? 128. 3 through 6. 128, 3 through 6. Thank you. All right. Now here's the question. I'm on question 24. Question 24. Probably the one proverb we all know. 22 in verse 6, right? Probably the one proverb that parents agonize when their kids have gone bad. And sometimes rightfully so, what Daryl said, sometimes not rightfully so. So let's give the proverb. Let's go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Gary, you want to read that proverb for me, please?
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Okay. Couple of things here. It is not teaching the impossibility of someone not falling away. Because as we become to adult age, who are we responsible for? Ourselves. Philippians, right? Work out your own salvation. That's just the first bill, I hope. Okay. I'll never forget I used this proverb one time in a gospel meeting. I thought the lesson was going good, happy the lesson's over, and I had a guy try to rake me over the coals at the end of the lesson because of this proverb. He said, that guarantees if you train them when they're young, It's impossible for them to fall. And I said, you are completely wrong. It's a principle. It's a principle. Let's look at the proverb again. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. So we all agree that the parent has to be involved in the training, correct? So if there's no training, then this proverb wouldn't even apply to a person. We would agree to that. So have you known of, and again, I don't want any names, have you known of parents who have tried to train up their children in the way of righteousness? And some of them have stayed the course as they, but have you seen situations where some of them have not? And that's when I see the parents beat themselves up. What did I do? Perhaps they didn't do anything wrong. Now, maybe they did. Maybe they didn't do the training, and that was part of the problem. But it's interesting. Here's a family that has three children. Two of them remain faithful, and one just went off the charts the other way. Have you ever seen something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Here's what we need to understand. Do parents need to train their children? Yes, I have the passage here, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Very much. So that's the responsibility for us as parents. So moms and dads do that. And like I said, we're not perfect parents, so there are some things we need to, you know, I mean, they need changes, corrections as we go on. But on the whole, we've got good parents who are trying to train their children, correct? And lo and behold, can there be a child that chooses to rebel against everything you stand for? And that is a very sad situation. But that's the demeanor of that person. Daryl? Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if you teach your children when they're young, that teaching sticks with them. They may choose not to follow it, but the teaching sticks with them. I'm not always smart to do the things that my dad instructed me to do, but I remember things from, I'm almost 4 or 5 years old, but he told me. I remember things he taught me, and sometimes when I get off in left field on something, I'll think back and think, Dad warned me about this.
Yeah. And who knows that down the road that won't affect him to come back? Absolutely. However, and I'm not saying in your case, Daryl, however, some kids as they go astray, can they harden their heart to the point where they will never come back?
Yeah. They can choose not to.
Yeah. But that wouldn't be the parents' fault. That would be whose choice? Their choice. Their choice. Right? So again, parents, we have a responsibility. We need to teach them. You know, if kids aren't coming, it might be because the parents haven't set the good example. But if the parent's setting the good example, the parent is trying, the parent is doing the things that are right, and you just have one that just jump over. I'm not paralleling kids as animals, but I lived behind in Perry. They had cows behind us. And they used to have one cow keep jumping the fence. And when he jumped the fence, it caused a chaos because then the other cows would follow suit. So you know what they did with the one cow? That's exactly why they killed him. I'm not saying we should kill our children. But because one was going to be obstinate and keep on doing what they shouldn't be doing. All right, well, you had a question?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. All right, that's it for tonight.